Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined on the podcast once again by Vivek. And we're here to break down another win over a potential first-round opponent, the Raptors, defeating the Nets by a score of 115-105 today. You and I kind of remarked throughout this game, the Nets didn't really play as hard as we thought they would for a team that's kind of desperate.
Yeah, I mean, it was strange because you look at this game and you look at what's at stake for the Raptors, not much. What's at stake for the Nets, a whole lot. So you expect them to come out with the intensity right out of the gate, and they didn't have that. They were turning over the ball, really careless with it, taking some bad shots. And honestly, if it weren't for the Raptors missing some really good looks at the start, it could have been a total blowout. Even though the Raptors had a double-digit lead at the end of the first, it could have been much worse. And so, definitely a disappointing compete level from the Nets. You know, you think about the Raptors. You know, Pascal Siakam was talking after the game about, you know, using this as a game where you're going up against someone that has a lot at stake, and so this is a good chance to get that compete level and get that competition and gear up for the playoffs. But you never really got that from the Nets till sort of late in the fourth when D'Angelo Russell got going.
Yeah, I mean, that was just one of the subtexts of the game, was really just, you know, the battle most improved player between Pascal Siakam and D'Angelo Russell. We'll touch on that a little bit later on. I think Pascal probably had the upper hand tonight, but let's go into just sort of the nuts and bolts of this game. So the Nets play a lot of zone defense, right? And this is a central principle of the Nets defense. Part of why they play it is because, to be honest, they just don't have a lot of good defensive players, right? Like, Jared Allen is a good-ish rim protector. I mean, he's had a lot of great blocks against a lot of great players this season. You know, Giannis, LeBron, Blake Griffin, whatever. But they don't. He doesn't really rebound that well, and the rest of the Nets are pretty small. And so it's pretty normal for a small ball team like that to go zone. I thought it was interesting in the way the Raptors attacked that zone because, you know, I think typically you in a playoff setting where you have to actually win, I think Nick Nurse would go to an option like Marc Gasol in the post because you put Marc Gasol in the middle of the floor, especially after a screen or whatever, and then you dump the ball to him in the middle of the floor. The defense is going to be scrambled in that situation. The defense is most likely going to double because he's going to have a mismatch, and then you can just let, you know, Marc Gasol playmake. But given that this is not an actual must-win for the Raptors, it literally is inconsequential, as you said. They're locked into the two seed. They didn't really go to that. Instead, they actually had Serge Ibaka closing the game.
Yeah, I think with the zone, it's almost like Nick Nurse is sort of finding a way to challenge this team and saying, hey, you know what, Gasol at the elbow in the post is probably the easy way out and we can get through this no problem, but let's test ourselves a little bit and let's see what we can do outside of that. Let's give ourselves as many options as we can to attack the zone outside of Gasol. And so I thought, you know, there were plays where, you know, they even shifted Siakam. They had him in that elbow area making some passes, and I thought that was really effective. And then, you know, Kyle Lowry is going to do his usual thing, and, you know, the way he's able to penetrate, the way he seems to be getting a bit more of a step, getting to the rim now again, you know, everyone's sort of gearing up for the playoffs. And so I think it was good to see the Raptors show that other side outside of what they can do with Gasol, just sort of, you know, picking apart the defense. And so I think as we go along, you know, Nurse might have more looks where he'll say, you know, I know we have this in our back pocket, but what else can we do outside of that?
Right. And I think one of the novel things that the Raptors did tonight was get on the offensive glass, right? Like, they had 17 offensive rebounds. I checked, the season high is 18 against Detroit early in the year, but Raptors had 17 offensive rebounds. They had 18 second chance points. And a lot of that was Pascal Siakam, who had 8 second chance points just on his own, just off putbacks, you know, being active around the basket. He had 5 offensive rebounds, but every single member of the Raptors starting five got an offensive rebound. And even Serge Ibaka off the bench got 4 offensive rebounds. That seems to be where, if you were just going to look at this in terms of just how do the Raptors match up with the Nets, this is where I feel like the Raptors have such a big advantage because they're just bigger across the board, right? Like, I looked at the starting lineup today, right? You got Russell versus Kyle Lowry. Okay, that one, Russell's actually taller, but Kyle Lowry plays like a bigger player. Russell's plays very soft defensively.
Yeah.
Joe Harris versus Danny Green. Danny Green's bigger in that sense. Damari Carroll versus Kawhi Leonard. That one is just funny, to be honest. Pascal Siakam versus Radion Skurux, who sounds like he's on the periodic table, but he's definitely not as physical as Siakam. And then even Allen versus Gasol. I mean, Gasol probably has like 50 pounds on him, yep. right? And then even guys off the bench. Like the Nets, they didn't even really play Ed Davis much off the bench as the center. You know, they actually went to Rondae Hollis-Jefferson for just as many minutes as a small ball five. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is 6'8".
Yeah.
And he's going up against Serge Ibaka, right? And so I think the Raptors can really muscle this team. In addition to the fact that I think, yeah, if they just honestly played, you know, Gasol in the middle, I think they could pick them apart. So, I to be honest, my big takeaway from this game is just I'm very comfortable facing the Nets.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. And I think, you know, with the rebounding, it also, again, goes back to the intensity that the Nets played with. They just didn't seem to have that gear in them to compete in at a level that you would expect to see in a game that this team really, really needs. And then on top of that, the other thing that stood out to me was, you know, Kenny Atkinson was just desperate to find some kind of matchup that could work, right? And you look at Kawhi Leonard, there were times where he was matched up against Radion Kurucs. There were times where he was matched up against Damari Carroll, Spencer Dinwiddie, got a switch on to Jared Allen, mm-hmm. and none of it mattered.
Yep.
And none of it mattered. And so, again, we go again to maybe the Nets trying to cause some problems. But let's face it, Kawhi Leonard is going to be the best player in that series. And if you have absolutely no answer for him, you're not going to stand a chance.
I mean, quite honestly, I think the Raptors might have the best four or five players in the series. And it's nothing to disparage the Nets. You know, the Nets are playing well. You know, D'Angelo Russell's having a nice year. But, I mean, you look at it tonight, right? Kawhi was great. And this is kind of not an off night for Kawhi, but just, like, not as efficient as he usually is. Like, I thought he was short-ironing a lot of, you know, three-point shots or whatever. But, you know, he got whatever he wanted inside. Yeah. Like, literally, right? Pascal, same deal. Gasol, I thought, actually did play a pretty good game, despite the fact that, you know, he didn't actually close the game. It was Serge Ibaka who closed the game. Serge had a great game, 23 points, 12 rebounds off the bench, you know. Kyle obviously is capable of having great games. So, I mean, on the other side, like, the Nets, like, these guys can get kind of hot. But I thought the Raptors, you know, to Nick Nurse's credit, he got this team to execute really well today, right? The Raptors only had, as a team, 7 turnovers, right? Remember, like, 2 weeks ago, guys like Kawhi Leonard or Pascal Siakam were having 7 turnovers on their own, right? They've really made a point over the last couple of weeks to cut down on turnovers. They only had 7 tonight. And also, defensively, that game plan, I mean, they did a really good job against a team, the Nets, who like to hoist up 40 threes a night. The Raptors held them to 10 of 32 from deep over the course of the game. And quite honestly, at least 3 of those looks were from D'Angelo Russell just throwing up prayers in the fourth quarter, and he hit them. So congratulations to him. But the Raptors had the Nets just completely blanketed from outside. A lot of possessions where they really rotated. And again, it just speaks to matchups. Like, the Raptors are a pretty good team at defending on the perimeter. And the Nets, all they do is take shots from the perimeter. So they did a good job on Harris. They did a good job on Russell. They did a good job on Spencer Dinwiddie. And, like, aside from that, like, are they even going to generate offense, right? So I feel really good about the Raptors in this series.
Yeah, and again, we talk about execution, and you look at the Raptors, who have a bunch of guys that are playoff tested. The Nets don't really have that. You know, they've got, you know, you maybe Damari Carroll, Jared Dudley, who's not going to play minutes in the playoffs.
It's the wrong kind of playoff tested.
Exactly, right? So
tested and failed.
And, you know, someone I think that sort of perfectly embodies that is, you look at Joe Harris's numbers over the 4-game series that they had. Sure, he had that one game where he went off and was 7-for-8 from 3 in Toronto, and the Nets, that's probably the only hope they have, right? That one night where they catch fire and they're just there's nothing that you can really do about it except tip your hat. But the other 3 games, Joe Harris against the Raptors has combined for 3 3-pointers. And so, you know, you might want to look at and say, oh, Joe Harris leads the league in 3-point percentage. Danny Green's right there in second. But guess what? On the other end of the floor, that's where you really see the difference as well, right? And I think the things that the Raptors are able to do to take away what the Nets might look to get from their role players, that's where the series will kind of shift. And, you know, again, there's just too many matchup problems for the Nets to really be competitive in a 7-game series against this Raptors team.
Yeah, for sure. We've talked around this point a little bit, but let's break it down more in depth, all right? So the battle of most improved player. The yep. two leading candidates, I would actually say there's a lot of other candidates out there.
Yeah.
A lot of players have taken notable gains in their in the season, but it really is boiled down to D'Angelo Russell versus Pascal Siakam. I would say Pascal Siakam is in the lead, but of course, we're based in Toronto. Obviously, we watch a lot more Toronto than Brooklyn, so we're going to be a little bit more biased towards Pascal. But even if you just look at it, first off, most improved is about improvement, not about which is the better player.
Yeah.
But honestly, I would argue that Pascal is just as good of a player as D'Angelo Russell, if not better, right? Because you look at it today, Pascal, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 11 of 21 from the field, 3 of 7 from deep, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, and plus 21 in a game where the Raptors won by 10. So he really did have a huge impact, especially when he was on the floor. Versus D'Angelo Russell, who had 27 points, which is very impressive, but shot 11 to 25 from the field, 5 of 10 from deep, didn't get to the free throw line once, despite taking 25 shots. That's strange.
Yeah.
But he did have 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and was a minus 6 in 33 minutes. If I compare the two of them tonight, I mean, Pascal definitely outplayed D'Angelo Russell, right?
Yeah, and I think, I talked about this on the last podcast where you see Pascal's IQ and his recognition and his ability to attack situations where maybe he starts out slow. And then you look at this game, he started 0 for 5, and the Nets were letting him shoot the 3 all he wanted. And at the start, he took 3 threes, and he missed all of them. One of them was
an air ball
from the corner. But after that, he said, no, I'm not going to fall for this. He sort of used the space in front of him as a runway to build ahead of steam, and he did that really effectively. Got to the line a bit, got to the rim and finished well. And again, you mentioned the offensive glass. That's another way where, again, Siakam knows that he's got that energy, that motor to him that no one else can match. So when he's able to get on the offensive glass, get some easy buckets that way as well, there's just so many different ways in which he can look to get himself going that have helped round out his game. And again, when you look at improvement, you look at the different ways that he can attack, you look at Russell, outside of getting that sort of sliver of space on the pick and roll to jack up a three, that mid-range game, that pull-up where teams are sort of contesting, are conceding it to him when they drop the big, there isn't really too much going for him. Like you said, you mentioned the lack of free throw attempts. He doesn't really look to attack that much, right? And we saw the decision-making early on as well. You talk about setting the tone, setting the intensity early on, those turnovers. He was really careless with the ball.
Yeah, for sure. And look, these are things where even going beyond sort of comparing, the two players, because realistically they play very different roles, right? So it's hard to compare, and they play very differently in terms of their positioning, in terms of their size, everything about them are very, very different. But in terms of just improvement, right? Like, again, Pascal is a completely different player than in previous seasons, right? Like the fact that he can hit those threes. There's that one play where the entire Nets bench stood up and tried to yell at him and like guys like Shabazz Napier who don't even play, getting off the bench and trying to, disrupt Pascal. Of course, he switches it. He also had a clutch three in the fourth quarter where Kyle did a nice drive along with, a screen by Serge Ibaka and then kicked it out into the corner, and Pascal hit that as well.
Yeah.
That was during a tight moment. But, Pascal has improved. The three-point shooting has improved. Obviously, the post move has improved. I mean, the spinning, everything with his post scoring is completely different.
Yeah.
And he's still doing all the hustle things. And he's still defending multiple positions, and it's just, he's a different player. Whereas if you look at Russell has gotten better for sure, but I would really say that he has the same flaws as he previously had, right? But that his highs are now higher, right?
Yeah.
And I think tonight was a good example of that. Right? He's a very streaky player.
Yeah. Right?
This is a guy who just disappears for very long stretches.
Mm-hmm.
And early on this game, I mean, he was 1 for 7 to start. The Raptors did a really good job of sitting on his left hand. He's a lefty, so they took away the jumper, made him go to the right hand, go to that little floater and stuff. And he's kind of inconsistent with that. But you could tell, right? The Raptors had a concerted game plan. We'll let you drive. We won't want you to shoot. We'll let you drive. Every time he drove, he wasn't getting any contact. He wasn't really getting to the free throw line. He wasn't really getting to the rim. And so this is a player that you can scheme against. And again, he's very streaky, and he's also very, defensively, he's not very solid either, right? So he has kind of the same flaws as before. He's gotten better, but I think fundamentally he's kind of the same, and we kind of saw it again tonight. So I mean, in terms of most improved, I still got to give it to Pascal.
Yeah, and I think the other thing for me is when you look at D'Angelo Russell, drafted second overall, he's had the opportunity season after season to grow.
Yeah.
Right? It just so happens that he seems to have figured it out more than any other season this season. Pascal, he has had to fight for everything, right? You look at, okay, sure, right at the beginning, he was handed a starting role because of the injury to Jared Sollinger in his rookie season.
He was a token starter. He was like Louis Scola.
Right, and then he ended up in the G League.
Yeah.
So he's had to work his way back from that point to being on the bench mob last year to, you know, arguably at the start of this season, he was competing for that power forward role with OG Anunoby, and then he made it his own. And he's continued to earn everything for himself. With D'Angelo Russell, he's consistently had the opportunity. It's just a question of sort of putting it together for longer stretches,
yeah,
which is what we're seeing now. So I don't know how much you credit a guy that was expected to be here finally figuring it out.
Right, right. Yeah, for sure, for sure. And again, one game doesn't decide the award by any means, and the award isn't about who's the better player, but the better player tonight was Pascal Siakam. So,
yep.
You know,
give me the award.
People are watching. You know, make sure you're watching this game because, yeah, it's pretty clear. Anyway, in terms, let's move on to the three stars. So, I'm gonna go with Pascal as my first star. Obviously, the fact that he has a plus 21 really does reflect the impact he had on the game.
Yep.
His hustle on those putbacks, very important. But the fact that he also had 28 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, like mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier, 11 to 21 shooting efficiency. That's also one thing where Pascal's very efficient.
Yeah.
Right? He's like above 60% true shooting all season. For a point, he was leading the league in two-point percentage as a forward who gets a lot of his own offense, which is really hard to do. Whereas Russell has literally never even cracked league average in shooting efficiency. But
right.
In any case, I got Pascal as my number one star. Who do you got for second star?
I was debating Kawhi and Ibaka.
Mm.
I'm going to go Ibaka.
Yeah, the chef.
Oh, man, he was cooking. He was cooking from three.
He's cooking up some threes randomly.
The pull-up?
Yeah, we were watching this game together in the office late at night in the Yahoo office. And when he took that three, I might have just, yelled out WTF. But he swished it.
He swished it.
Yep.
And then the bench had the reaction, and Serge was cooking.
Yep.
So, 5 of 5 from three. And I think this is probably one of the most encouraging signs post the deadline, where now since the suspension,
mm-hmm.
He scored in double digits in every game coming off the bench.
Nice.
That's some of the consistency that you were looking for, that you were hoping for, once the Raptors sort of made a commitment at the center spot to Marc Gasol. And now, again, there's that expectation of 48 great minutes at center. There's that comfort that he's establishing with Van Vliet. You expect Kyle Lowry to be on the floor more and have that pick and roll going as well. So, obviously, you don't expect him to hit from the outside.
No, because he was shooting like 27% from deep all year.
Exactly. So, but again, he also had a couple of those mid-range twos where, coming off that screen where he's going to pick and pop, that's another effective play for the Raptors. So if he can continue to show the game that he's shown for much of this season going into the playoffs, again, the Raptors have very few holes to poke at.
Yeah, for sure. And the bench is supposed to be one of them.
Yep.
If Ibaka plays like this, 23 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 8 of 15 shooting, 5 of 5 from 3. It was funny because
In
24 minutes. And he got to close. I think he played the entire fourth quarter. I didn't see Gasol in there. Nick Nurse has kind of experimented a little bit with Ibaka and Gasol. He tried it for 3 minutes tonight. Gasol actually set Ibaka up with his first three.
Yeah.
Kind of a simple just, point to wing pass, swing, gets a three. But, look, if Ibaka hit threes, it changes so much for the team.
Yeah.
Because literally everyone else in the Raptors right now, at least in the rotation, is hitting pretty decently from deep. So if Ibaka can also join that trend, the Raptors don't necessarily need more help from three. But, tonight even, they shot 39.5% from deep. And Ibaka had a third of the triples.
One quick thing on trends. One thing I've noticed that's been happening with Ibaka just a little bit more is, so for much of the season, we've seen when he's rolling to the basket, when he's been getting the ball, he's been able to pick out that pass to the weak side corner for the three. But now he's even finding the guy you know, on the extended elbow off, right, off the pick and pop, which is another development in his game. And I think that that's probably the most underrated aspect of his development this season. Those passes that he wasn't making last season that people were probably getting a little too frustrated with, you know, because he was constantly taking the shot. But now he's finding those open men. And, you know, again, we talk about the ball movement being contagious. That's another aspect where Ibaka's probably looking at Gasol and saying, hey, man, yeah, anything you can do?
Yo, why are you starting over me? Well, you can hit threes and pass? Okay, I'm going to do the same. You know, so.
Nothing like internal competition.
Yo, for real. And Ibaka's really, really stepped up of late. That's been great to see. And then for the third star, I'm going to go with Kawhi. 26 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, you know, regular game for Kawhi. Yeah. A little bit inefficient because he didn't hit the three, but still shot 11-25 from the field. Yeah. I could not believe our man only shot 4 free throws in a game where it was very physical down low. The Nets, obviously, they were undersized, so they had to be extra physical. But, like, they were just letting the Nets do whatever to Kawhi. And for most of the game, he had Rodion Kurucs on him. And you could tell Kawhi was getting pretty annoyed. At one point, Kurucs kind of, like, gave him a little bump in transition. Kawhi just gave him the screw face and then pushed him.
Yeah.
Right? Which you don't usually see from Kawhi. He's kind of unflappable, but Kawhi got his revenge later on by faking Kurucs out with that Rondo fake, the ball fake to the left, and then spitting back over the shoulder for the little hook shot. And I just like the way Kawhi, you know, in these tough games where he's not getting calls and the game's really physical, this guy still gets after it. He's unfazed by contact. And, you know, we've seen other stars in Toronto in the past, you know, during these tough games, you know, I won't say any names, you know, might have been involved in this trade with Kawhi. But, who, you know, in these tougher games when the calls weren't coming, they would just get really frustrated and they weren't able to play through it.
Right.
And Kawhi all season has been able to consistently score. I mean, the fact that he would change his game completely today and just, like, decided to take it super hard to the basket was really encouraging. And, you know, even the rebounding and stuff, there's a couple of defensive rebounds where, you know, it felt like the Raptors might whiff on them or whatever. This, you know, the Nets obviously playing super hard at the end to try to make a comeback, and Kawhi snagging a couple of important defensive rebounds. So, I mean, I don't know. This is kind of an average game from Kawhi, but even average is impressive.
Yeah, I think one thing to maybe lean into the comparison you were making to the dude that got traded.
What, loyalty? What?
No. So, you know, I think part of that frustration that built into DeRozan when he wasn't getting those calls is because of how important it was for him to get those calls to get his game going.
Exactly.
With Kawhi, it's like, okay, you're going to take that away? Here, I still got this. Here, I still got this. Mm. Here, I still got that. Right? He can score every which way. We've seen it over the course of the season where pretty much, based on the opponent, he brings exactly what he needs to, nothing more, nothing less. And now, as the playoffs come, you know, you expect him to find that next gear as well. And if it's the Nets, again.
Oh, man. If it's the Nets and they're putting Damari Carroll and Rodion Kurucs on Kawhi Leonard, all series with Jared Jellybody Dudley coming off the bench, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Like, the only reason he wouldn't average 40 in that series is if he's only playing, like, 25 minutes because it's a blowout every time.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Raptors PR just tweeted out, Thursday, April 4th, no practice. No, this team just never practices. It's like, oh, yeah, playoffs coming up. Who cares? Who cares? The game's a practice. 82 practices, as Kawhi said, yeah. We'll never get to talk to these guys ever.
No. Nope.
There's less work for us, though. That's good.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, I mean, you know, I might have disparaged him early in the podcast, but I thought Kurucs actually had some nice moments. to be honest, not a lot of good Nets performances tonight. I think their lack of talent was kind of apparent in this game, especially when the Raptors kind of turned it on.
Yeah.
Just defensively, in terms of with their intensity, the Nets just really struggled to get offense. But, yeah, Kurucs, you know, 19 minutes. He had 11 points, 5 of 7 from the field. 4 rebounds, 2 assists. I mean, the fact that he got under Kawhi's skin is not easy.
That's the thing. I respect that he wasn't intimidated at all, right? Like, he went ahead with the matchup. He played his game. You know, he took a couple pull-up threes. And, again, he didn't back down anytime he was up against Kawhi. One thing I will say that's disappointing is one guy you maybe would have expected to see compete for the Gerald Henderson, and you know, who had such a great start to the season. Caris LeVert looks nothing like the player he was in the first half of the season.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's disappointing. He looks like Norm Powell out there.
Yeah,
and like bad Norm.
Yeah,
which is, you know, this is injury. This is not
exactly.
But yeah, it's unfortunate.
So, yeah, so that's tough to see.
I thought you were gonna say Damari Carroll. By the way, I thought you were winding up to say Damari Carroll. Man. Going from Damari Carroll to Kawhi Leonard.
That's the come up.
That's for real the come up, actually. Because actually, you know what, though? It was funny because at one point, Damari Carroll was that come up. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because if you look back in the archives, which please don't do it, but yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 2015 when the Raptors signed Damari Carroll for $60 million away from, I think the Pistons were going hard after him. I was like, man, the Raptors finally got the 3-and-D guy. He's gonna
LeBron hit. Stopper.
I didn't go that far. I didn't go that far. Okay, because Damari had also just gotten swept by LeBron. But I mean, it was an upgrade at the time, man. The Raptors were playing Terrence Ross and James. Well, James Johnson wasn't even playing for whatever reason, despite painting his head red. Probably that's why, actually.
And then LeBron was sipping beer on the sidelines, and it was all over.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Damari got replaced really quickly. We actually went from Damari to PJ Tucker briefly.
Yep.
That was a nice upgrade. Yep. And then, you know, OG Anunoby the year after, and then Kawhi Leonard.
And then the PJ meme.
Which one?
The stick PJ with the please stop.
Oh my God. Oh. I worked really hard in therapy to forget that series and those memes, those LeBron tweet memes.
My bad.
Yeah. Thanks, man. All right, I think that mostly does it for the podcast. You can catch a lot of post-game coverage on Yahoo Sports Canada.
Yes, you can.
There's the 10 things, which most people here already know about. But Vivek, what'd you write about after tonight's game?
So I just looked at, you know, again, the disparity in the compete level of these two teams, which you would have expected to almost be the other way around going in. A bit of, you know, the MIP battle between Pascal and D'Angelo.
Yeah.
And besides that, again, you know, the Raptors just what they've looked like since the Gasol trade, you know, the offense humming again, you know, another game where they shoot 40% from three,
29 assists.
And this has just become an expectation now every game.
Yep.
And that's when you know you have a truly elite team that can play playoff style basketball. I mean, you talk about 29 assists, but just 7 turnovers.
Yep.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I mean, it's really impressive. So definitely read that on Yahoo Sports Canada. And also, another reminder to please subscribe to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Listen, if we get enough subscriptions, I will stop reminding you at the end of every podcast. But in the meantime, especially if you're in the iTunes store, hit 5 stars. If you want to, write a review as well. I do read them. They're very heartwarming. All of them are positive so far. Keep it that way. And yeah, thanks for listening. And so for myself and Vivek, we'll be back after the next game.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.